so much for joining us today at Our Savior's Church, where we are one church meeting in five different locations, and our goal is to help you on your spiritual journey to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference in the lives around you. If you'd like to learn more about our church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.
We're in a series we began last week called Hope is Here and the Power of the Resurrection. Let me say something to you. Jesus is alive. He is not dead. He is still working through his Holy Spirit here on the earth. And I drove by the church as I do every Sunday morning, do my little prayer time before our service every Sunday, and just go, thank you, Jesus. God has favored us, blessed us. It is going to be supernatural, and it's just tangible that God can really move mountains. And I hope it's not a building. It's God. And I want you to know that. So I'm so excited. I wanted to talk to you about hope today. Hope is here. And really kind of break it down to you and talk about the hope really of the first century church. And the first century church talked a lot about heaven. Everybody say heaven. And I want to talk to you about heaven today and what heaven is really like and about what your future is going to look like. And I just want to tell you, your future is so bright, you're going to have to wear shades. I made that up. I made that up. And it's so bright. And the first century church, I think we've lost something. Even since when I was a kid, we used to sing songs about heaven. We would talk a lot about heaven. And even now, we kind of sing songs about heaven coming to earth. And can I just tell you, heaven will come to earth one day, but it'll be after the rapture takes place and there is a new Jerusalem and a new heaven, new earth. It's going to be new. God's going to do it new. And so when we were kids, we'd sing songs like, how many of y'all remember these old school songs like, some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll. See, you guys are good, huh? If you know that song, you're old, okay? That's all the old people. How many of y'all remember this one? Won't it be wonderful, wonderful there, having no burdens, no burdens to bear? I mean, we sang songs about heaven. What's heaven going to be like? And I want to talk to you about heaven today. Heaven is our hope. And everybody say hope. Yeah, what does hope really mean? Let me break it down for you. Hope means you're excited about the future. You're excited about it. You're not fearful of it or anxious about it. And so if we can get the right theology and perspective on heaven, then death, fear, and anxiety will go away. Let me say it again. If we can get heaven right, then fear of death, anxiety of death is going to go away. I just had the privilege of burying my 91-year-old grandmother. We had to go, Heidi and I took a little trip over to visit with her when they, you know, we got the call. Hey, it's looking like the end is near. The end. By the way, if we get our theology right, we'll recognize it's not the end. It's only the beginning. I love what T.D. Jakes thought, and I just had this thought because I remember him preaching about this some years ago. Talking about if you would look at heaven almost like the womb. I mean, if you look like earth as the womb, and the day you die is the day you're really born. That's a great perspective of what heaven is really going to be like. But hope really means that you're excited about the future. It means you laugh about it. Ha ha! Can't wait. And I'm afraid many of us are walking through life with we have fear and anxiety about the future. And so let's talk about heaven. And I just want to read a couple of quotes. I have some in here for you, and I think we're going to put those on the screen for you. Elizabeth Elliot, one of Heidi's favorite authors, Christian authors, said this about heaven. Heaven is not here. It's there. If we were given all that we wanted here, our hearts would settle for this world rather than the next one. God is forever luring us up and away from this one. wooing us. And I love that word wooing. That's how I got Heidi. I wooed her. He was always wooing us up to heaven, to himself and his invisible kingdom, where we will certainly find, you're going to find, the band, you too, is going to find what they were looking for. It's in heaven. And so I want you to know that the enemy is at work too. The enemy is at work, and he really loves to do two things. He's trying to pull down. He's trying to pull, because heaven's about, one, it's about a person, and then two, it's about a place. Everybody say a person. His name is Jesus, and it's about a place called heaven. And the enemy's at work trying to tear both of our thoughts about them down. He's trying to lie about both of them. In fact, the scripture tells us in Revelation 13, 6. Let me draw your attention to it. So the wild beast, Satan, began to blaspheme against who? So he's always trying to tear down the person of God, Jesus. And he's also blaspheming or lying his holy name and his dwelling place. So he's going to tell you lies about heaven, about these places, and so that you think you'll start. In fact, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about heaven today, where you'll realize that some of the things that you've thought about heaven are simply lies or myths that people have told you or the enemy has told you about heaven. And so, how many of you want to go to heaven? Yeah, you want to go. And hopefully at the end of today, you're going to say, I can't wait to go. Back to my 91-year-old grandma. We're sitting there visiting with her. And I said, Grandma, are you ready? And she's 91. She just looks over and she just simply says, I am ready to go home. It's a great word, home. And I will talk a little bit about that. Let me show you Colossians 3:1-1, chapter 3, verse 1. And here's my goal today. Since you have been raised to a new life with Christ, and all the redeemed said, amen. Now let me try it again. Since you've been raised, I think I'm talking to mostly believers in the room, but some of you may not be, and that's fine. You're welcome here. If you're a believer in the room, since you have been raised to a new life with Christ, are you here? And then he says, I want you to set your sights on the realities of heaven where Christ sits in the place of honor in God's right hand. So my goal today is to set your sights up higher than what's happening on this earth. Probably the foremost expert or writer about today, who's living today, about heaven is an author, Christian author, by the name of Randy Alcorn. He's also a minister of the gospel. And he lists a number of things about heaven. And I just want to list a few of them that he wrote about some of the myths that we believe or answer some of your questions about heaven. And let me just give you a few of those thoughts this morning. I'll just throw them out to you. We're not going to miss our old lives. When you get to heaven, you're not going to think about earth. You're not going to think. My grandmother would not come back if she had the opportunity to come back. I don't know about all these people that have died and had these visions of heaven or actually went to heaven, because I'm not sure what's true, what's not true. But I can say this about most of them that report back. They all said they did not want to come back. You won't even think about your old life. How many of you have ever been on an airplane? And if you're like Heidi and I, they used to call the front part of the airplane first class, which means by virtue of that being first class, then the back of the airplane must be second class. How many of you have always sat in second class, like Heidi and I? Yeah. You remember, they always put the first class people on first, and then you walk by and they're sipping their champagne and looking at you like, here come the peasants. And how many of you have always wanted to sit up there one time? You just wanted to sit up there and drink something and go, peasants, you know. Well, it was our 10-year, I think it's the only time Heidi and I have ever flown first class. We bought a coach. It was our 10-year wedding anniversary. And I begged the person at the front, you know, we were going away on a 10-year anniversary, and I gave my best spiel. This is my wife, Heidi, over here. We've been married 10 years. We're celebrating today. She said, oh, congratulations. Listen, we're in coach, right? They don't call it first, second class anymore. They call it business and coach. It's politically correct now. And so I said, could you hook me up? And I gave that lady my best smile. I told her her hair looked really lovely. And she hooked us up. And so we got to sit up there in the front, you know, watch the peasants walk by. Do you know coach never came across our mind? We never sat up front thinking, I wonder what they're doing in coach. Listen, when you get promoted to first class, when you go to heaven, you're not going to be worried about coach. I just want you to know that. So you won't worry about this life. Randy Alcorn also answered, people ask, will we become like angels? Are we going to be harps and wings? And the answer to that is no, you're not going to be. In fact, the scripture tells us that you will be, to be absent in body means to be present with the Lord. So when you go to those funerals, you know, you go there, if they were a believer, their last breath on earth was their first breath in heaven. So they exhaled their last one, and they breathed in their first one. They were translated into a brand new world. They are the real person. That's who they really are. They're going to be in a brand new place. And by the way, you are going to get brand new bodies. Through the years, some of it sagged. It's going to be put back up here again. Come on, somebody ought to shout, and you're going to get a brand new body. I mean, you may get to heaven and go, size 4, please. I love what, can I take you real quick to 1 Corinthians 2 and 9, just to get your thinking right? Look what the scripture says about heaven. No eye has seen, nor ear has heard. I don't know about you, but we've seen some beautiful sights in our time. We've traveled around the world. We've seen some incredible sights. And here's what the scripture's telling you. You ain't seen nothing yet. You have not seen anything like it yet. And then he says, no ear has heard. I don't know. I've heard some incredible music. You've heard some beautiful sights. You heard some incredible music this morning. You go, you haven't heard anything yet. And then it goes on to say, your mind has not even imagined it yet. In other words, I don't know about you, but my imagination can come up with some pretty amazing things. I've imagined what the new building's going to be like. I've imagined what it's going to sound like. I've imagined. And God's saying to you, you can't even imagine it. It'll be far beyond your imaginations. And he goes, you haven't seen it. You haven't heard it. Your mind has not even imagined yet what God has prepared for those who love them. Heaven's going to blow you away. We won't become angels. We won't be tempted anymore. No temptation. You're not going to get to heaven and go, well, what if I thought about doing something I shouldn't do? You won't. It'll be the innocence. You know how children are innocent? When they're little, they're innocent. In fact, you'll see Heidi and I, you've seen it in the past where we've prayed over children that we're dedicating to the Lord. We'll say things like this. We pray this prayer over them. Lord, may they never have to taste what's evil to know what is good. For you are good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. How many of you had to taste what was evil before you finally turned to the Lord? You will be there. There is no evil. There is no sin. So there will be no temptation at all. You'll taste and see that the Lord is good. Let me give you something else. We'll have work to do. You could, will heaven be boring? The answer is heaven will not be boring. You, in your mind, the enemy would love to bring down what heaven is really like you're going to get bored, like you got to go to church every single day and you go in. That's not true. In fact, Revelation tells us that we will rule and reign with him. Jesus actually gave a parable about this very subject. And he said, I'm going to give each one some gifts, and I want them to utilize the gifts to build my kingdom, which means you're going to have jobs that you're going to do. It won't be drudgery. It'll be something you were created to do. In fact, you'll be fulfilled by doing it. How many of you ever had hate Mondays because you got to go to work? That won't happen in heaven. You'll say, I can't wait to go to work because I'll be doing what God created me to do. And when you do what God creates you to do, you feel the smile and presence of God. Are you with me? And so, in other words, if you're here, and we were talking about this in the car on the way home, and we were on a little trip with the family, and Hannah asked the question. She goes, if you could do anything else in the world, and we were talking about heaven. And I said, I think I know what I'm going to be in heaven. I think I know what my job's going to be. I do. I already know. If you're a baker, you're probably baking heaven. If you love to bake, you're probably going to be baking. And I love to eat. You're going to be eating in heaven. But you know, that talks about feasting, parties, celebrations in heaven. You're going to be eating. You haven't even tasted food yet. We think, let me tell you something, the worst food in heaven beats the best food in Louisiana. What? Some of you are going, I can't wait to go. I'm getting hungry right now. No. So you think about, I think I know what my job's going to be. I'm going to be a tour guide. It's what I do best. It's what I do. I feel the smile of God when I'm touring. Welcome. So great to have you here. Please, everybody on the bus, come. Look at the mountain. You know, I can't wait. You'll have a job. If you teach, you teach. If you sing, you'll probably be singing. By the way, you can go, all it's going to be is worship. Is that all? Worship? No. See, you're thinking wrong. I'm sure there will be times when we gather together to worship, but worship won't be something that you go do. It'll be something that comes out of you because you'll be responding to the fascination that you see that God has created for you. You'll just go, praise God, look at that. I remember first time, I'm from South Texas, which is kind of like West Louisiana. And I was 15, I think, and our little youth group decided we were going to go snow skiing. I'd never been snow skiing. I'd never seen the mountains before. Never seen a mountain. Never been in snow. Neither, if you're from here, you've never been in snow either. It's just really frozen water on the ground. That shuts our schools down. So they put us on a bus. In the afternoon, they said, we're going to drive all the way. So we slept. So when we woke up, we got into the hotel, and they said, first thing in the morning, we're getting you on the bus. And so we get on the bus, and I saw the snow outside. And I thought, oh, my God. We get to the ski slope. I never skied before. We put our skis on. All of our group was going to ski school, a.k.a. boring. One of the sponsors was a skier. And one of the guys that came with us, a man, one of the daddies, was a skier. And he looked at me and goes, hey, do you really want to go to ski school? He goes, I've been skiing all my life. I don't want to spend half a day in ski school. He said, I can teach you. It was snowing. I mean, the snow was just coming down. We were just like, ah. And we were just, this is beautiful. And the ski slope, the lift went into the clouds. So you could only see it maybe 100, 200 yards up, and then it disappeared into the clouds. And so he said, let's get on. So we got on. We rode up through the clouds, through the snow. And I was just like, this is amazing. And then we came to the top of the mountain. We broke through the clouds. We were on top of the mountain. And then we landed. And I came off the ski lift. And I looked. And there was a whole mountain range before me. And I started singing. How great thou art. How great thou art. Then sings my soul. And he's looking at me. You've lost your mind. And I looked at him and I said, have you ever seen anything so beautiful? I didn't even mean to sing. I just started singing because I'd never seen anything so beautiful. That's what heaven's going to be like. You're going to start singing. Do it again. I've seen you move. You move the mountains. You're just going to start. Everywhere you look for eternity, you're going to be fascinated and blown away by the imagination of God. No eye has seen, nor ear has heard, or no imagination has thought it up what God has prepared for those that he loves. Are y'all with me? Yeah, you go, will we experience emotions? Well, of course we will. Again, there's feasting and celebrations and laughter and joy, and there'll be no sorrow. Can somebody say praise God? No sorrow. There'll be no weeping, no crying. Maybe tears of joy, but the scripture tells us that he will wipe away every tear. So you won't have to have them anymore, and we will take great delight in being with him. Well, so we still won't know everything. We'll still be learning, still be fascinated. Things that you're interested in. I mean, if you're interested in plants and flowers, I mean, you're going to just have a heyday. I mean, you're just going to go. If you're interested in mountains or adventure or thrill, remember, God created you with wanting to adventure and thrills, and you're going to experience all of those in heaven. Let me give you another one. You're going to recognize one another. So when you get there, if you're wondering, will I know my loved ones? Will they know me? They're going to be there. They're going to be waiting for you. You're going to meet them again. You're going to see them again. And it's going to be just as real as you and I are here in this very room. Why don't you just reach over and punch your neighbor real quick? Just do that. Look, do you feel them? Well, not seriously. I wasn't serious about that. I saw a few of you just really punch people. What about, will we get bored? That's a great question. Will we get bored? People sometimes say, and you've heard sayings like this, I'd rather be having a good time in hell than be bored in heaven. In fact, let me read this. Isaac Asimov, the famed science sci-fi writer, wrote, "I don't believe in the afterlife, so I don't have to spend my whole life fearing hell or fearing heaven even more. For whatever the tortures of hell, I think the boredom of heaven would be even worse." Sin doesn't make life interesting. Sin makes life empty. Some of you got the t-shirt. You thought it was exciting at the beginning. It goes down like honey, but then it makes the stomach sick in the end. And so you've turned around. Righteousness could not be more exciting. You're going to be more fulfilled. There will be no boredom. In fact, the scripture says, at his right hand will be pleasures. Everybody say the word pleasure. Oh, who do you think gave you the endorphins, the feelings to enjoy pleasure? It was God when he created you. And heaven is going to be pleasure forevermore. You ought to give God praise for that. He's an exciting God. He's created. So let me give you three thoughts today. Vic's going to help me. I've got 12 minutes to finish this. But let me give you just three thoughts if you're a note taker today. And I always encourage you to take notes. Number one, let me give you this. Heaven is our hope. It is our hope. It's our future. It's what we look at and go, ha ha, can't wait. Heaven is our hope. Look what 1 Peter, I'm going to read it again. 1 Peter 1, but I'm going to read some more. 3 and 4 says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus from the dead." Read with me. "Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach and change and decay." Wow. I want you to start expecting. This is going to be on in heaven. This is going to be exciting. This is going to be fun. It's going to be pleasure forevermore. I'm going to have a job to do. God's going to give me a job, and I'm going to love it. Can't wait to get up in the morning to go to my job, so that I can do my work. The scripture says in Revelation, we'll rule and reign with him. We got a job to do. I love this. How many of you, I hope today, just to whet your appetite, whenever we travel somewhere, we always get all the information we can on where we're going. I took Heidi to Hawaii I've only been once. We went once. I took her on our 25th wedding anniversary. And man, we got all the information we possibly could, all the things we wanted to do, the excursions, the places. And then you get there and you just live it out, man. This is awesome. Can't wait. Hawaii is beautiful, by the way. But it's nothing compared to what we're going to see in heaven. Heaven, number one, heaven. I hope today that you'll pull out the Bible, the pamphlet, about where you're going, because it talks all through from Genesis to Revelation about this place called heaven. Heaven is our hope. It's our expectation. It's where we're going. It's where we chuckle at the future. We may even chuckle at our own passing because we're going to get to be there one day. It's gonna be exciting. Number two, let me get a second thought. Heaven's not just our hope. Heaven is our home. It's where we belong. Look what Jesus used when he talked about his own death and resurrection. He used romantic language, romance. That's what he said. He said, don't worry. John chapter 14, 1 through 6. Don't worry or surrender to your fear. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't fear or be anxious about the life after death. Don't be fearful of death. Watch what he says. For if you believe to God, now trust and believe in me also. My Father's house are many dwelling places. He's talking about heaven. If it were otherwise, I would tell you plainly, because I go to prepare a place for you to what? A place for you to rest. Isn't it amazing when they were fearful about death? Jesus, don't fear that. Think about heaven. Think about what's waiting for you. And I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And I'm going to come back for you. And when everything is ready, I'm going to come back and take you back to myself. You will be where I am. And you already know the place to where I'm going. Everybody look right here. Jesus is using romantic language to the disciples. What I mean by romantic. In Bible days, you wouldn't like today. You see, guy sees girl, he likey. It wasn't like that. It was the parents worked it out. Like the parents of the daughter and the parents of the young man, they got together and said, hey, we've been watching your young man. We like him. We think he would be a good suitor for our daughter. Can we work this out? And they would work it out. And then they would tell the children, hey, we've already worked it out. Y'all are getting married. I think we ought to bring that back. I got two daughters, amen? I'm trying. Anyway, here, when they got engaged, here's what the fiancé's responsibility was. It was to go away, and he had to get a job, right? Biblical, get a job. If he doesn't have a job, girls, he's a pretender. He's not a contender. He asks you out, say, let me see your W-2. So he's got to have a job. And then he was to build a house or to buy a home and save his money. And when he had done those three things, he would come back for her. This is what Jesus is saying. Look, I'm going to go away. And I'm going to prepare a place for you. When the place is ready, I will come back and get you. Can you imagine, girls, you're going to relate to this much better than us boys, but guys, I think you'll get it. Could you imagine the conversations of the young woman who's waiting for her beau to come back? Mama, isn't he cute? I think he's so cute. I just can't wait. I hope it's tonight. Do I look okay? I mean, what if he comes back tonight? I don't know when he's coming. It could be tonight. I don't know. Do you think he'll come back tonight? I don't know. He's been gone for 3 weeks now. Do you think the house is ready? I wonder what the house looks like. I wonder if it's big enough. Because I want a lot of children. We didn't even talk about that. I mean, I wanted three children. Mama, do you like the name Chloe? I was thinking Chloe. No, that's okay. Madison's good. I like Madison. I like I just like it. Do you think we'll have a lot of children? What do you think our kids are going to look like? I don't know. Is he coming back yet? Is he back yet? Mama, do I look okay? Are we ready for the wedding? Did you see my dress? I don't know. I don't like the thing over the top, over the shoulder. I was kind of wanting to go over shoulder. But you know what? It doesn't matter as long as we're together. It doesn't matter as long as we're together. I wonder if he got the job. I know he's overqualified. Mama, he's really smart. He really is. I wonder. I wonder if we're going to make a month. You know, it doesn't matter as long as, is he coming? I don't know. How many, do you see what's happening in her heart? Jesus is saying to us, this is what I want you to be like while you're waiting for him to come. There you go. I wonder if he's coming. I can't wait till he comes. I can't wait. I can't wait to be with him forever. He's creating a place for me. I can't wait to go. It's going to be exciting. I just can't wait to be there. I don't know. He's so smart. He's so good looking. I don't know. He's got nail scarred hands. But other than that, he's really good. I can't wait to get there. Or Jesus is saying to you, look, don't be fearful or worry. I'm going to go prepare a place for you. I'm going to come back and get you. You're worried about all this stuff down here. Listen, I got stuff that you haven't seen or heard of or even imagined waiting for you, baby. This is not your home. It's not your home. This is not your home. Last year went to Israel. It was pretty amazing. You're walking where Jesus walked, you know, the tour guide, which is what I'm going to be in heaven. The whole time I was like, I can do better than that. You know, listen to the tour guide. Anyway, he's walking. We believe Jesus walked right down this way. And you're just going, man, that's amazing. Jesus walking. I am walking where Jesus walked. And it was unbelievable. It was like opening up your Bible and then diving in it. And then it's like, because everything still kind of looks the same. Like this wall was here when Jesus was here. You go, this is amazing. But even after we were gone about 12 days, 13 days, something like that, about 10 days in, you're going, I want to go home. I want to leave Jerusalem and go home to Appaloosas, right? And we flew into New Jersey. You ever been to New Jersey? We fly into New Jersey. We're like, yeah, woo, USA, baby, America. People talk like us. I mean, at least the same language. And we're like, yeah. And then you go, eh. We're close. I mean, we're in our country. We're just not home yet. Then we flew into New Orleans. You get out, and then people are talking like you, right? In New Orleans, welcome. And then you go, two-hour drive back to Appaloosas. Finally, we get back. Oh, there's the property. Yeah, Jesus bless it. Jesus' name. We're home. Appaloosas, baby. Nah. It wasn't until you pulled into the driveway. Yeah. And you go, we're home. And then you open the door. And then even in your own home, there's that one spot. You know that spot. It's like your chair. And then you go. You know that spot. When your kids get in that spot, you're like. They're like, what? You're like, what? That's my spot. And you get there. Look at me. Don't get too settled on being here. This place is not your home. You're just a sojourner, a traveler passing through. There is a home for you, and you'll be home when you get there. Are y'all tracking with me this morning? Well, let me give you the last one. Number three, heaven should be in our heart. What do I mean by that? It ought to be our motivation. It ought to be our motivation. Since you've been raised to new life with Christ, and I'm talking to the believer, since you've been raised to the new life in Christ, set your sights on the realities. The what? Not the fantasy, but the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place and honor of God's right hand. And then he goes on to tell us, what does he say? Think about them. Think about these things, not the things of this earth, for you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, I love this, you are going to share in his way, in his glory. I love this. Look, Rick Warren said this. We'll put it on the screen for you. You will not be in heaven for 2 seconds before you cry out, why did I place so much importance on things that were so temporary? What was I thinking? Why did I waste so much time, energy, and concern on what is not going to last? I love what one writer said. When you get to heaven, it's not that you're not going to have an itch. You'll have an itch. It's just that every one of your itches are going to be scratched. You're not going to get it here. And if you don't become heaven-minded, you'll try to build heaven here on earth. You'll try to build it here, and then you'll hold on to it. And then you will be fearful and anxious of the grave, which is only a doorway to your real life, your home that is in heaven. Do y'all receive this word? Look at me. Heaven is your hope. It ain't going well right now. Lift up your eyes a little bit. And just you're walking through. Sometimes it's birth pains. I get up now. I don't know about y'all. 53. I get up every morning. My back. Oh. Anybody with me? What is that? It's the Holy Spirit whispering. What's he saying? You ain't home yet. This ain't your home. Every time you got to go to the doctor again, I'm sick again. What's he saying to you? This ain't your home. What happens when you conflict? This ain't your home. That should motivate us. What about our lost loved ones? Will that put a damper on heaven? Look at me. I think we'll see the lengths of which Christ went to save every one of our friends and families that maybe aren't there. And we'll understand the justice of God and the mercy of the Lord. Heaven is not a place any of us deserve. Hell is the place all of us deserve. Heaven is a place that we only get there by his mercy and his grace upon our life. It's not any work you did. Or I did. It's only the work that he's done. But I can tell you this, it ought to motivate us here to go to work on our mission to reach people and build lives, because heaven is as real as the very room you're sitting in right now. In fact, it's more real than the room you're sitting in today. It ought to motivate us to go invite our friends to church. It ought to motivate us to make sure we're praying for our lost family. It ought to motivate us to go do the work of Christ. It ought to motivate us when the offering basket comes by. It ought to motivate us because we got to do whatever we can do to reach the people and build lives, because this is not your home. Do you receive this word today? Let it be deposited in your heart. Let's pray. Father, deposit this in our heart, the reality of heaven, God, that it would be in our heart, Father, that we will think about these things. You told us in your word to think about them, to think about heaven. Father, to give us the real reason why we're here on earth. Just thinking about heaven motivates us to do your work while we are here, so that when we do see you, we can hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. Today, Christians, would you pray right now, just for your row? How do you get to heaven? Well, you got to RSVP. You got to make your reservation in heaven. Well, what do I do? How do I make a reservation? Jesus said you can't see the kingdom or enter the kingdom until you've been born again. You have to be born again. I didn't say christened, I didn't say baptized, I didn't say a member of our Savior's church or any other church. A church can't save you. Only Jesus, the person, can save you. All you have to do is call born again. I was born July 30th, 1965. I was born again in the summer of 1983 when I bowed my knees and gave my heart to the Lord. I was born again. How do you do it, Pastor Yu? It's as easy as ABC. Admit that you're a sinner. We've all sinned. We all deserve hell. B, believe that Christ came to be the penalty payer, to pay for our sins for us, to take our guilt, our sin, and shame by dying on a cross. And then C, confess him as Lord. He rose again on the third day to be the Lord over death, hell, and grave. Confess him. Make him the Lord. Go here, Pastor Yu. I want to be born again today. I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want to be born again. I want to pray for you right now. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If that's you, would you just lift your hand up high all over this room? Today, I want to be born again. I want to give my life to Jesus. Thank you. Hold him up high. Keep him up high. One and two and three. I see your hand, ma'am. Hold up high. Four. Thank you, ma'am. I see your hand. Four, five. I see your hand. Six and seven and eight, nine. I see you. I'm looking in the balcony. 10. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Congregation, let's pray with each one of these. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God. I believe that on the cross, you took my sin, my shame, and my guilt, and you died for it. I believe you faced hell for me so I wouldn't have to go. And that you rose from the dead to give me a place in heaven, purpose on earth, and a relationship with the Father. So today, Lord Jesus, I turn from my sin to be born again. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my helper. And heaven is now my home. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about our church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.